draw your sword, knock your arrows, and ready your spellbook. It's time for another episode of The Gamesman. What role will you play?
Greetings, guys, gals, and goaties, and welcome to the third and possibly final part of the E3 grouping of shows. This time we're going to go into Nintendo and Square Enix and possibly PC, depending how long this one runs. And I'm handing it over to Dan for the PC part because he took all the notes. So, might as well get into it. Nintendo goes a little bit different because it's not just their digital event that they had on Tuesday. They had a few things. They had the Super Smash Bros. Direct that took place on Sunday. And basically the big things I'll talk about out of that is they had Ryu and Roy. Ryu from Street Fighter and Roy from Fire Emblem come out as DLC characters, and they're going to get amiibo. The cool thing about Ryu is you can actually use, like, the moves from Street Fighter in the game, like, you know, his back down forward, punch for Hadouken and shit. Yeah, they also brought out some DLC stages. One of them was the, I think it's just Dreamland from Super Mario, or Super Smash Bros. 64, and they also have, like, the Hyrule Castle kind of stage from 64, and there's another one that I can't remember. I swear I wrote them down, but I can't find my notes on that one. That direct. But, a couple things came out. It was cool. Interesting stuff. And then later on that day was Nintendo World Championships. And it was pretty awesome. But before they even started it, they showed a level in, like, Yoshi's Woolly World, in the pre-show or whatever. And then they right before the championship started, they brought out Earthbound Beginnings, which is, I believe the first Earthbound game, or Mother 1, or whatever. And they brought it to the West, so I believe it's in UK and US. Now I'm like, yay! I can finally play it. So that's cool. If I got that wrong, everyone's gonna kill me. But then, Nintendo World Championships, pretty awesome. I don't remember even who won anymore. But,
Don't look at me, I have no idea.
I know Cosmo was in it just because I heard my brother talking about him, kind of while the thing was going on. And then, I just can't remember his name. It's like, I don't know. Sue me. Nobody cares anyway. But it was really cool, interesting. They had, like, four rounds, and then they had, kind of the survival round where people got put into, like, the pit. And then they had to play another game, and then the one that beat all the other losers got to move on to the next, like, section of elimination round. And if they made it through all of them, like, they came out back in at the end of the thing, which is kind of cool. It was definitely interesting. They showed off which is now, be talking about here in a little bit, is now renamed Metroid Blast Ball, or Metroid Prime Blast Ball, which was cool that they brought out, like, this new game as one of the parts in the championship. And then they also had Mario Maker for the end. And the stuff that they had to run through was pretty insane and awesome. I loved it. It was a good time. Even Mark Anik said it was good, and he hates Nintendo. But other than that, we'll get into the digital event. And so I kind of really, really hated on Nintendo after this, like, bad. And then I kind of have thought over the last couple of days, like, you know, it wasn't as bad as I thought, especially if you think about it a different way. But I'll talk that more in the end.
But, yeah. Jim Sterling thought it was the best of the lot.
It's definitely, like, the best in certain ways. They brought out stuff that's basically coming out, like, by the end of the year or early next year. And then
it was fun, apparently.
Oh yeah, it was. You never watched any of it?
No, I was busy doing stuff for Mother.
It's, you know, it's recorded and you can watch
it. Yeah, but since then I've been doing other stuff.
You could have watched in the time that you were playing Witcher.
Yeah, but I was playing The Witcher then, so.
Fucking hate you. So anyway, it starts off and it was like really funny, and Nintendo just does these little kind of things that I love. But last year they did like the robot chicken throughout the whole thing, and for this one they did like the Muppets. And it was hilarious. Iwata, Miyamoto and Reggie were all Muppets, and then like they're going throughout the thing, whatever, and then like they start to slowly transform into Star Fox characters. And so there's like Star Fox Muppets. And then at the end of this first one, which you can kind of guess by what I'm saying, they show off Star Fox Zero, but at the end of it, like, it's like, yeah, like, do a barrel roll. Yeah, do barrel roll, Fox, do barrel. And it's funny because throughout the whole digital event, as they call it, they kind of, you know, like, acknowledge, like, the stuff that people make fun of. One of them was, like, Iwata holding bananas, and, like, Muppet Iwata was holding bananas. So, I don't know why people were making fun of him for it. I think it's because he was showing, I don't know, he was, like, doing a van away. I don't know. But, yeah, they kind of, like, went through a few things. I do need to watch that Jimquisition episode, actually, so I can see. I just listened to the podcast today, and it gave me another perspective on it. From that show, I got something on the PC when we get there. That'll be fun. But yeah, they show off Star Fox Zero, which, you know, I'll give my thoughts in a little bit. But it showed, like, well, first it started off with the Muppets thing, and it was like it showed Fox Falco, and Pepe. I believe Pepe's the rabbit, right?
I don't know.
What do I bring you?
I don't know. Well, I could be in bed now.
I need you for a little bit. And then Slippy. So, it has to be because I believe Slippy is the frog guy. They're back in this game, and you're going to be able to pilot the R-Wing, which transforms, and they have, like, the regular R-Wing, like, plane-looking thing, and then they have this new thing, which is a gyro wing, and Steve said it looked like a fucking mechanical chicken. And then they also brought back the Landmaster tank. And a little different thing that they have on this is the TV will show, like, a more cinematic view of the game, so it's more like third-person looking at it. And then on the gamepad is where you can use, like, the gyro controls and stuff like that to look around and shoot and aim and stuff like that. And it shows everything in first person, like, from the cockpit, which that's really cool. I really like that. But the thing that I don't like is it looks like shit. Like, it doesn't look like a Wii U game. It looks like a slightly updated N64 game. Like, it's still kind of, it looks blocky, sharp, kind of, and I was like, oh, this is ugly. Like, I would hope it'd be, you know, like a Wii U game where, like, everything I've seen made from Nintendo has looked really, really pretty and colorful and awesome. So I don't know why they did it this way. Hopefully something changes in the next few months. Yeah, I just have a feeling like nobody said, hey, Miyamoto, come here for a second. And, like, smack him on the back of the head and be like, no! You can't do everything you want. Oh, somebody should have been like, yeah, let's up-res this texture because it looks like the N64 version. But, yeah, I want to look more into it. Actually, I want to look at the the kind of gameplay, the treehouse stuff they had. I haven't had time this whole week to look at anything other than the conferences. So I need to get my backlog of content checked out. Hopefully by the end of the week. So moving on from that, Skylanders. They brought Activision out and talked about Skylanders Superchargers, which is their new game that's gonna have, like, Skylanders and cars and shit. But the cool thing about it, they're bringing amiibo to it, at least two new specific amiibo, which is Donkey Kong and, Bowser. It's Turbocharged Donkey Kong and Hammer Slam Bowser. And they're gonna have their own cars, and I can't remember if it says here, I don't see the name of the, vehicles, but they're gonna get their own vehicles, and I'm never gonna play a Skylanders game, I'm just gonna get the amiibo, I might as well just fucking say that now. I don't know, like, they were showing off this different stuff, and Reggie was, like, in the video with the guy, and he was like, how hard was it to work on Nintendo, because they're known for, you know, being very restrictive on, like, what people can do with their IP. And basically they're saying they were working with Nintendo, and they were actually telling them to make, like, new things instead of using, because they wanted to use, like, Dry Bones Bowser stuff. They said, no, make something new. So now they have, like, Magma Bowser, where he fucking just spews out flames and shit. But it's cool that they're going to be able to do something new. Who knows? Maybe I will get a Skylanders game, and then I'm so screwed. I don't need all those toys, too. I don't even have all the amiibo.
No one has all of them.
Oh, there are people that have all of them. They're just crazy.
Bastards.
Micah. Yeah, but I can get them all, because lovely friend Tiny, whenever we were doing the Bethesda kind of conference on Sunday, he told me all the amiibo he has left, and I'm gonna buy them off of him. So I was like, yes! So I'm gonna have all the amiibo.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and as far as I know, he's not charging me a high price on it. Nah, I'll buy him for a high price. moving on. And apparently, Skylanders Supercharger is going to, come out, September 20th. And then we move on to Legend of Zelda Triforce Heroes. And I think I'm gonna really like this because, I like the Four Swords games and I can play with my brother and probably Steve or something like that, whoever gets the game. And, it's a 3-player game and like the Four Swords stuff, you take control of a different colored Link character, basically, and you're solving puzzles and, you know, doing boss battles and stuff like that, kind of like you did in the other ones, and you have to play, you know, cooperatively together and just make it through. And it looks cool because, like, you can stack the Links on top of each other. You can go to, like, a kind of 3-high totem thing, totem pole kind of thing of them, and, like, you can throw each other, like, in the other games, that stuff. The weird thing about this one is there's, like, different costumes you can wear, and they already showed off, like, a Zelda dress costume that Link can wear, and, like, all these costumes have different abilities. I think hearts drop more often or something if you're wearing that. They have a bomb costume where you basically become a bomb and just blow up. Kind of like the bomb mask in Majora's Mask is what it seems like. The game also looks like A Link Between Worlds, like that style. So I think it's going to be a pretty cool game. Apparently it's going to launch sometime this fall, and it's going to be cool. They also showed, which was leaked online before E3, was Hyrule Warriors Legends, and it's Hyrule Warriors, but they're adding two characters from Wind Waker, and this game is going to come with all the DLC characters unlocked, and I saw a gold ocarina, I'm not sure what that's going to do, I wonder, I don't know, but basically Hyrule Warriors again, just on the 3DS, with a few more things. And then they showed off Metroid Prime Federation Force. And you hear, like, the Metroid, you know, music, and then it goes, it's, like, flying down, whatever, like, shit flying down. And then, it's not Metroid. It's a four-player co-op game in the Metroid Prime universe. And apparently Samus is gonna be in it. It's got co-op missions and shit like that. You can clear out enemy-infested bases, you can play objective-based missions. Missions up to six players can compete. Oh yeah, there we go. And this is where the blast ball thing comes in. So Metroid Prime blast ball comes in the game, which is a 3-on-3, if you didn't see the World Championships. It's a 3-on-3 kind of, soccer, football, whatever you want to call it, style game, except you use, like, the gun, like the energy kind of, beam gun, whatever, to blow the ball into, the team's goal, and the goal gets smaller and smaller with each point, scored. So, apparently it's gonna release sometime 2016, probably springish, I would guess. Then they also showed off Fire Emblem Fates, and they showed this off a few times before, but there's two versions of the game, which is gonna, offer different choices and stuff like that, for the game.
Cheeky bastards.
What?
You can't just have one version. You've got to have two versions of the game.
Of course not. I mean, Pokemon does it every time, and it works perfectly.
Cheeky bastards. They really are.
It's fun. But yeah, apparently you're going to be able to play the role of the main character and command an army, like always. And then they're also going to... I believe they did say this one's going to have, like, you can have permadeath, or you can... I can't remember. It was like, you have permadeath, you can have their dead till the next battle, or you can, like, have another mode where it can be revived on the battlefield, so you can keep using them. So, don't know how that's going to go. And then it says it's going to launch 2016. Now this one, I thought it was, damn it. I said it perfectly yesterday. No, I can't remember again. But yeah, this one's called, let's try this, Geni Ibon Roku, Pound FE, I don't know. I have no idea. But it says, name of the final. I have no idea what it means. But it didn't show much, but I'm just gonna kinda read this out. It says, set in modern Tokyo, young people come together to weave an epic tale alongside heroes from an alternate world. This brand new RPG developed by Atlus is infused with elements of the popular Fire Emblem series and the struggle between the worlds of glamour and darkness. These young heroes rise to face the challenge, and it says it's gonna launch in 2016. I don't know. They didn't really show much. It was basically, I did see, bouncing boobs in it. That was kind of weird watching. The female parts move very, very well, I must say. So this was main Japan. And then next up, they showed off Xenoblade Chronicles X, which launches December 4th, and that's really all that matters, because we've fucking seen everything about that game. So yay! It's my Christmas present that I'm not gonna get for a Christmas present, because I'm gonna buy it before Christmas. Then they also showed off more of Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer, which launches, with the Amiibo cards on September 25th. And then there's also going to be a bundle, which, comes with one Amiibo card, and the NFC reader, which is if you don't have the new 3DS. Because new 3DS has the NFC reader and the kind of touch screen part that you just kind of tap it on there. And then they also showed off Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival, which is basically, which I think I did see something today that this isn't just what it is, but it's basically Animal Crossing Mario Party. That's what it looked like. They're rolling, like, the dice and moving up and shit, and it looks like there's gonna be some party games to it and whatnot. I think I did see something that this was gonna be, like, free to download, which I thought that was interesting. So it's gonna launch, this holiday season, and It's going to launch with a bundle that includes the game, 2 amiibo figures, and 3 amiibo cards. So apparently it's not free. I don't know. Yeah. So then they also showed Yoshi's Woolly World with the sweatshop of amiibo for it, because there's like a table with the amiibo on it, and the woman that basically created the amiibo, because she was like, I love yarn, making stuff out of yarn, so I made Yoshi stuff, and yeah, it was weird.
That's probably the world supply right there.
That's what I said. And then they also showed off Yo-Kai Watch, which is basically Pokemon, except different. But it's super, super big over in Japan, exactly like Pokemon is, or Pocket Monsters. But I think it plays the same way, like I don't know if it's Ghost or something you're getting in this game, but you're basically doing the same thing as in Pokemon, like capturing or whatever, and then probably using them, to get shit. So, that's gonna come out, this year, around Christmas-ish. And then they also showed Mario & Luigi Paper Jam. And, well, it's not what I wanted, but it may be really good. I need to look more at it, because I was off my lunch break and I was trying not to look at my phone while this was playing. But yeah, from what I saw, I kind of want to definitely get it. I mean, I love Paper Mario in general, but it kind of looks like they're bringing they're turning the Paper Mario from 2D into 3D by making it like paper craft. So if you think of like Tearaways, kind of like that. So I don't know. It looks like it's going back further with the combat in Paper Mario, like the original ones and stuff. So I'm kind of excited for that. But I don't know. I need to look more into it. Apparently, it's going to launch next spring. And then after that, they showed off. Actually, I don't have this in any order because I couldn't remember which one came first. But they had Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon, and then you can, it's different because you, turn into a Pokemon, and you can turn to 20 different Pokemon, and the world is gonna have, all 720 Pokemon in it. And it's even gonna have, the legendary, mythical, Pokemon and all that stuff. So that looks interesting. It's coming out, holiday this year. And then they also showed Mario Tennis Ultra Smash, which is another Mario Tennis game. It looks like people can become really huge and stuff, so that was interesting. And then, to basically end it off, they showed off, Super Mario Maker, and, we don't really need to say any more of that because everyone's gonna get it anyway because it's awesome. And it's going to be amazing. And I just want to play everything that other people make. People are going to make, Terminator in it. Remember the Terminator level in Trials?
Nope.
You don't remember that?
Nope.
I swear to God, I showed you that. God damn it. I'm trying to get you in the conversation. Alright. Anyway, the Super Mario Maker, and then they ended it on something that wasn't even a game. It's called LetsSuperMario.com. And you can, put on your own kind of Mario. It's basically for the 30th anniversary of Super Mario Brothers. And they are, you can go to the site and upload your video or link your video or something to them to celebrate Mario. I don't know. So anyway, getting on into Square Enix. They start off with Just Cause 3. Which probably is going to have 400 square miles of fucking space for you to go through. And I didn't really care for the other one for some reason. Maybe, I don't know. But apparently Just Cause is really cool.
Dan,
is it really cool?
Yeah, they've showed off a few things. Now you can attach your grapple cable to multiple objects and cause
the one thing
problems.
I thought was awesome. When he put the grappling hook thing to a guy and then to an explosive barrel, and the barrel takes off and just carries the guy away.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was awesome. And then, he's shown pulling stuff apart. This does look like it's going to have a lot of cool stuff to it. I may get it, I don't know, for $5 again. Like I did with the other one. Are they going to have multiplayer with this from the beginning?
I have no idea, but they are promising more support and longer support. So, that'd be very supportive.
I think I did. I do remember hearing that. And then, next up, this is fucking weird. So they show this kind of trailer. They don't really show much about it. I've never played the series, but it's going to be made by Platinum Games, and it's part of the Nier series, NIER. Don't know anything about the original one. I think it came out on PS3 and Xbox 360 years ago. So I don't know much about it, but I had to look at it after this fucking guy came out with the creepiest face, like, mask thing. It kind of looked like the moon from Majora's Mask he was wearing on his head, except this is actually, like, a crazy anime-looking character in the game. So I don't know exactly how to explain it, other than he just had this big globe on his head with a creepy, grinning face. And whenever he was talking at the conference, his voice was all muffled and you could barely hear him. He was speaking Japanese anyway, but couldn't understand anything he was saying because it was so muffled. It was funny. But there's a good picture I retweeted today somebody replaced that with the moon from Majora's Mask. It's like, you have 3 hours remaining. Spent a lot of time on that for not knowing anything. Rise of the Tomb Raider, they showed more of that. Actually, I think they showed less, because I don't think they really showed much of it.
I can't remember. I don't think they showed much of it.
It was just a trailer again, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, we've seen it all anyway. Monty's being a pain again. Oi, stop it.
So nothing else to really say about that one. Then they went into mobile games, and apparently they have these games called Hitman Go, and can't remember what the hell the other one was.
Lara Croft Go is the new one that's coming
Hitman
out.
Sniper is their other game that they have on mobile. But Lara Croft Go is the new mobile game. So, it looks interesting. I guess, like, Square is getting more and more into the mobile area as well. Because we've seen a few of them at this press conference. And then they kind of do a, like, quick showing of, I don't know if this was one thing or not, because I can't remember what I saw now. Heavensward, I don't know if that was Final Fantasy XIV Heavensward, or just just Heavensward. But they showed off Final Fantasy XIV, Life is Strange, and Dragon Quest Heroes. It just kind of ran a little trailer through those. I don't know why. Like, yes, we do have more games than you think. And then they showed Final Fantasy VII Remake again! Woo! Love it. And then they put something on the very end of it. It said, like, more to come this winter. And I was like, yes, I can't wait! And then it's going to say, like, 2018. And I'm going to be like, I hate you so much. And then they brought out another phone game. And it was Kingdom Hearts Unchained Key. And I don't know if this is going to be on Android. I think they said that it's coming to the West. I think this is the first one that's coming to the West, because I don't think any others had, is how he made it sound. But Unchained Key is going to come to the West, and it ties into Kingdom Hearts 3. It's interesting looking. I can't remember it that well. But I remember I was interested in it. Maybe just because it's Kingdom Hearts. Oh, this guy was speaking Japanese. I think this is the part where there's a guy talking
the
Japanese.
The translator wasn't translating.
Yeah, he wasn't translating. He was just talking. It was like, did the translator fall asleep like everyone else is watching this shit?
Yeah, it's like, come on. We've not just learned Japanese in this
past
5 minutes.
Yeah, so, like, he's not doing anything. I'm just hearing Kingdom Hearts, and, like, I'm writing in my notes, I'm writing Kingdom Hearts 3, because he said Kingdom Hearts 3. And then I see this game, I was like, fuck, cross out Kingdom Hearts 3, put in Kingdom Hearts Unchained Key, and then, And then they finally show off Kingdom Hearts 3. And I was like, yes! Because I love Kingdom Hearts and Courtney loves Kingdom Hearts. And then my notes here were, looks amazing. And then they're talking about the Keyblade Wars, which is like at the end of 2 that came out like 10 years ago. Now, I don't even know when that shit came out. But, yeah, I can't wait to see more about it. Like, it looks so good. I want it. I want it so bad. But I'm gonna have to wait, because at the end of that, it says, now in development. They showed that game at least 2 years ago. And now they're saying it's in development. Why? Oh, I hate you. I hate you so much. It's kinda the same thing with, like, Final Fantasy VII Remake that was supposed to, like, come to PS3. They just said it was a tech demo. No. Yeah, and then they show off again, World of Final Fantasy, which we talked about. Hitman again, which we talked about. I think Hitman was showed off like 3 times through this whole damn, thing. Well, these couple days conferences. Then Star Ocean, I didn't get to watch the very end of this, conference, so I don't know anything about what Star Ocean is. Dan, do you know?
No, not really. They didn't really show much at all. There was just a big thing saying Star Ocean coming 2016. So, I don't
know. Joy. I can't remember what conference is, like, big for them that they go to. Some Japanese conference. I'll have to check stuff out later in the year. I'm guessing that's where they're going to show Final Fantasy VII stuff. And then the last thing was Deus Ex Mankind Divided, which apparently takes place in 2029, using a new engine, and has the Illuminati. Dan, anything else to add to that one?
Not until the next bit, because God, it looks good.
They
did.
Yeah, they did show that stuff, didn't they? Alright, well, that finishes up Nintendo and Square Enix. We've only gone on for a half an hour, if even. So I'm just gonna let Dan take over for the PC version, so I don't know, or version, for the PC bit. Maybe I'll put on a little piece of transfer music. Like, do-do-do-do, whatever. Dan, take it.
Yes, the PC had its first ever, kind of thing at E3 this year.
Can we just get over this first? That was the longest thing I've ever watched.
Yeah, it was incredibly long. It was far too long. If you do it next year, not that long, please.
Like an hour and a half at the most. Like it was
2.5 hours. Yeah, my ass was killing me at the end of it. I felt sorry for those people sitting there just going.
Speaking of ass killing, the one woman that's on the Gymquisition said she sat in the most uncomfortable seat of her life for 2.5 hours. Oh, dear. I feel bad for those people.
Yeah, but anyway, it was sponsored by PC Gamer Magazine and a load of others, AMD, and I can't remember who else. And, yeah, it was fairly successful. It was a bit of a weird format. It seemed more like a chat
talk show. Yeah.
Which was kind of weird. But Sean Day9 Plot was the host, and he kept it going quite well, so that I'll give him that. But first off, was Tripwire showing off Killing Floor 2 with blood and guts everywhere. Really, that was the main thing about it, wasn't it?
Blood. Did they say they had like gut fit, like I don't know. He talked about like the organs and fluids inside the body, like working and shit.
Yeah, and you can have like the blood flowing downhill, and then the organs on top of the blood flying down, and there's an update coming with double content that they released it with, so that's kind of cool. They're giving you another couple of maps and stuff. But the most important thing, I guess, is there's going to be no more stat resets, even though it's still in early access or beta or whatever. So you don't have to worry about it. You can play it now and keep your stats forever. So that was cool. It looked, you know, it looked fantastic. It's Killing Floor 2, you know, it was just gore everywhere. Absolutely fantastic. They showed something else they've been working on, because, you know, they've been busy. They've not just been working on Killing Floor 2, they've been working on Rising Storm 2, which is basically a Vietnam FPS that looked really quite cool. There were, you know, helicopters, music from the era, Viet Cong.
We haven't seen anything that old in, probably since, Black Ops 1, right? That was in Vietnam era, I believe.
Yeah, I think that was a bit of it. I can't remember. It's been so many Call of Duties.
My brain hurts thinking about them.
So yeah, that was pretty cool, and they went on for very long, but there was a surprise kind of video link, well, recording from Mr. Chris Roberts, head of Robot Space Industry. He was in London at the time, so he recorded it, and it looked like he was doing a load of motion cap stuff. And he basically just popped on to say hello and how brilliant it was, and he wished he could be there, but he'll be there for the next one. And
if they let him do it again.
Yeah, and then we saw footage of people wearing suits with ping pong balls on them doing motion capture stuff.
And dots on the, like, not... I don't know exactly how it works. I didn't know that it could pick up, like, little dot things. I guess that's... I don't know. But they, like, had, like, shit all over their face.
Yeah, yeah, for capturing, you know, facial expressions and things. And, yeah, it was pretty cool. Not on for very long, but, it was nice to see what they're doing. They had some really rubbish-looking guns for the motion capture.
That was funny.
I guess you don't really need anything real. And, you know, if it's nice and light and foamy, you're not going to hurt anyone.
Well, if you think about it, you may want it to be heavier for more realistic carrying. Unless, like, people are, like, super strong and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, or the suit perhaps has some kind of... I don't know. Anyway, next up, a chap from AMD called Richard Huddy came on, and he talked about DirectX 12 and showed off a couple of the new graphics cards that are coming out, and talked about, you know, how their new high bandwidth memory and DirectX 12 is going to make Deus Ex Mankind Divided look absolutely fantastic, and boy does it does. There's a huge amount of stuff on screen there. And it looks absolutely amazing. One of the problems I thought, though, was for a lot of people, if you're not really into PCs, some of they did get a bit jargony at times with them talking about, you know, bits and pieces and teraflops.
Xbox fam or just console fans are like drooling. They're like, what?
Oh, yeah, I forgot at the beginning. It just basically showed you how to build a PC really quickly.
that was interesting.
and then the guy's there, and he's playing all these games through the years, and tears are rolling down. And then there's a pair of hands in white gloves with a bottle of Mountain Dew stroking it.
Yes!
And pouring it into a wine glass.
Yeah, no, the wine glass. Oh, my God. I forgot about that. So good. Oh, God. I think I'll link that video. Just, it's hilarious. I just need the opening to watch every... I think I need to watch that once a week because it's hilarious.
And a couple of guys who I can't remember who the hell they were, but they're probably quite important. They introduced Total War Warhammer, or Total Warhammer, if you will. And that looks pretty cool. You know, a Total War game set in kind of the Games Workshop Warhammer world. I'm definitely going to keep an eye out on that. They didn't show much. It was mainly kind of concept art and a tiny little video, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then weird thing turns up. Head of Xbox, Phil Spencer, he turns up. So that was a bit kind of, well, piss off. You've had your bit. But he basically came on to not do much, really. Say how cool it was. Let us know that Killer Instinct is coming to Windows 10. So that's kind of cool. And then we learned a bit more about Fable Legends. Well, I say we learned more about Fable Legends. We already knew that it was going to be free to play cross platform, but we didn't know that they have years of content planned. Whether or not they mean they've got some content that they plan to give us in a few years' time, or they've got lots and lots of stuff planned, I have no idea. But it looks nice. It's free. I might as well play it. But yeah, Killer Instinct might have to give that a go. What do you think?
Oh, I mean, it's a fighting game. A lot of people like Killer Instinct back in the day. I really haven't followed it since it came out, but yeah. I'll probably have to give it a go just because of Lee.
Yeah.
They're like, let me kick your ass, and I'm like, fine. That's the only thing that happens with Lee and I playing fighting games. I win once in a while out of luck.
Yeah, well, next up was James Finney from Montega Games with Gigantic again, which we've talked about before. It's that 5v5 PvP MOBA shooty thing that we mentioned in the previous shows, and the beta's coming out for that in August, so yeah, check that out if you're interested in it. It looks quite nice. It's a bit cartoony. It's a bit but yeah, after that, we're going through this much quicker than they did.
Kind of have to, or it's going to be a regular fucking podcast length.
Yeah.
Like, it was, I think it's the thing of being PC, and like, there's so much on PC, and they just wanted to cover everything. Like, it's like, hey, can you show up here? And like, sure. And they're like, okay, add it to the list.
Yeah, it's like everyone they asked, we're like, yeah, we'll cover it. Yeah. It's like, oh, crap, this is going to take too long now.
Yeah, they didn't exclude anyone. I think next year they are going to kind of step back and, you know, pick some bigger kind of things.
Yeah.
Maybe have, like, a little indie, like, just have the screen green light thing and just fucking, like, go through, just have a little montage of all the names or something.
Yeah, and less interviews, more reveals, perhaps.
I thought it was interesting having the kind of talk show kind of thing going on. But yeah, it was very,
tedious.
That's a problem. Boring. Yeah. Because there are some people that didn't even talk to, you know, it's like, didn't know what to say or yeah. Stuff like that. It was interesting. But yeah, I don't think it really, it doesn't work for what they kind of maybe wanted it to be.
Well, one person that did know what to say was Rod Ferguson, obviously the Coalition. And he let us know that Gears of War Ultimate is coming to the PC, and it's completely rebuilt from the ground up. And the PC version, the Xbox version, is limited to 1080p, 60 frames per second. The PC version, unlimited frame rate, 4K res, new textures, the whole lot, brand new, spanking, glorious, modern looking original Gears of War.
So that is pretty awesome. That, like, man, well, I want all three, but I don't just want the first one because I didn't like the, I don't know if they're going to change the mechanics to be, better, like more like two. I don't know how much they're revamping it, but I think one, I guess, could be a lot better if they do fix, the shitty stuff that was in it. But yeah, like 4K, oh, gonna be great. And then, you know, like, running it, well, I guess it doesn't really work with Oculus Rift because it's not a first-person game. But yeah, I don't know. Have run it, like, 120 frames a second. Oh, yeah.
Now, the next game reveal was a really big, important one. STS Software. I don't know if you've heard of them. But they are making American Truck Simulator. So, yeah.
World premiere.
Yeah. Apparently it was made with Google Maps, so.
Woo. That's really cool. Like, if, I don't know, if I can fucking, like, say, drive on my road, that would be cool.
Or you can just get in contact with Rogue and find out what he's doing and do it alongside with him.
Rogue, I think I'm where your truck is. What are your coordinates? I'm coming. Coming. Where you stopped at for the night? I'll meet you there.
Next up was Ryan Geddes from CCP Games, and he talked about Eve Valkyrie, which I actually played last year on Oculus. And apparently it's been designed for VR from the start. God, that game is fantastic. It's so much fun. There's loads of stuff going on. I can't wait to get it. It's another one that I'm going to have to... Oh, I'm going to have so many space flying around games.
Yeah, you're a little ridiculous, I know.
Yeah, but it's absolutely fantastic. And he was saying, you know, a lot of people, when they first start playing it with a you know, VR headset on, they don't move their head at all. And I saw that actually with a friend of mine, James, who was trying out Elite Dangerous with the DevKit 1 on, and he just didn't move his head at all. And I was like, dude, move your head. He's like, oh, yeah. Oh, that's where he is. Oh, it's much easier to see him now. All right, I can get him now. I've got it.
I guess it's the thing you just don't think about whenever you're kind of, you know.
Yeah, we're so used to just looking at a screen.
Yeah, that you don't move your head.
Yeah, but, oh, that Eve Valkyrie looks fantastic. I'm going to have to save some money because I need to upgrade my PC and get a Rift. So Eve Valkyrie, I'll have to wait a bit. And then we saw Dean Hall, old Dino, again, the guy that kind of came up with DayZ by mistake and then left. And now is the CEO of Rocketworks. And he showed us Ion again, which is a weird space thing that is a game that isn't a game, a game that's a universe with stuff.
Crikey.
And actually one of the best bits about it was he was asked what the best bug they had was, and he said well, there's one part where if you touched another player, all their organs would fall out.
That's so awesome.
It turns out this game actually it
that should be a feature in a game mode.
It simulates like
tag
the internal organs of all of the people inside in the game, which is pretty freaking nuts. So yeah, if you touch someone and their brain fell out, they just couldn't do anything. They're just like, shit. So hopefully that gets sorted out at some point.
I don't know. I kind of want it. I'm telling you, they need a game mode. Just play tag.
Depending where you touch them, that's where
Oh, it comes. It just like flows out their ass.
It's like, yeah, got a kidney. Right, now let's get the other one.
God.
Oh, that's a colon.
Oh, God.
Next up, Pixel Titan showed us Strafe, which is. You could be forgiven for thinking was a kind of 1996 3D Doom kind of clone, because it looks like it's from 1996 and is a kind of Doom kind of clone, but it's got gore and really strange weapons.
That's all we need is gore.
And the shell casings look like fig rolls, which is a bit weird. At one point he picked up a fish and he threw it and it exploded. So yeah, that was weird. Loads of crazy weapons in there. It looks kind of fun. I might give it a go at some point. It depends on the price point. But then there was a bit of, bit more big news for certain people that have a certain game. I've put the wrong game here. It's not Path of Exile, it's Pillars of Eternity. Paradox Interactive CEO Fred Wester and Obsidian CEO Fergus Urquhart turned up to talk about the expansion to Pillars of Eternity called The White March Part 1. This includes new abilities, companions, and a higher level cap. And yeah, it looks pretty cool. But I'm pretty sure that Jason's probably gonna have a look at that when it comes out.
Yeah, he really likes Poe's Libertarian, doesn't he?
Yeah, I need to have a look at that at some point. It was half price. Just like, damn it. At the end of the sale, it'll be cheap again, so I'll have money then.
Yeah, they always have the, like, they put everything on sale last day.
Yeah, so I'll pick it up then. Ben David Braben turned up. Woohoo! And then boo, because it wasn't to talk about Star Citizen or even Elite Dangerous. Let's get the right game. He seemed very nervous on stage, and he had to stop and start a couple of times, and I guess I would have been nervous if I was him, because after, you know, thanking everyone, actually, no, it wasn't him that thanked everyone. It was Chris Roberts that thanked everyone, because the game, because his game's completely publicly funded. David Braben didn't say much at all about Elite Dangerous. He said, well, he showed us a video of a new game that they've been working on, and it's not really like Elite Dangerous, is it, Gary?
Not at all. It's completely different.
It starts off, there's a guy reading a book in a field, and he's just there happy reading a book, and there's a kid jumping up and down with a balloon. He tells him to go away, and then it starts raining, and he goes onto a tree, and then something drops down. He's like, what the hell? And he stands on it, and more stuff starts dropping down, and it's basically a game like Theme Park, except it's called Planet Coaster. And it's a game where you build funfairs and stuff. So, yay! Space! It looks kind of cool. I did like the graphical style. It's everyone's kind of very lanky, really long arms and legs, it could be interesting. I don't think I'm going to get it. I really don't. I'm sorry,
but
David.
Don't you love them so much?
I haven't bought all of Frontier's games.
Okay.
I didn't buy that. There's loads of stuff that I've done I haven't bought. It's just, you know, I bought two, three. Elite 2 and Elite Dangerous. They're the three Frontier games I've bought. Next up, one of Gary's favourite people, Colin Johansson, came on to talk about Guild Wars 2, Heart of Thorns, specifically the Guild Halls, which...
That shit's ridiculous, man.
Jesus Christ, those Guild Halls are big.
It's a complete map dedicated to Guild fucking Hall.
Yeah, and when you get into it, you'll be able to have arenas, guild workshops, war rooms, and a whole load more, apparently. And the pre-sales are live now, and it looks pretty damn cool. And that's just the Guild Halls bit. There's the whole Heart of Thorns bit that they didn't even talk about. Pretty nuts. You've got to go and capture your Guild Hall, and then you can start, you know, building it up. And
I thought it was interesting that you had to capture your guild hall to get it.
Yeah, and then you can have, like, in the arena, you could have, like, just, like, battles with guild members, or you can invite other guilds in and have fights with them, and it looks like a hell of a lot of fun. I was just amazed at the size and the way that you could make those guild halls look absolutely beautiful as well. It was nice. Very nice.
Should I get back in Guild Wars?
Yeah. Yep. Oh, dear. after EGX. Anyway, next up, there was a very quiet guy because his mic didn't work. Hakan Abrak, who's the... lead producer at IO Interactive, and ended up having to get very close to Day 9 to use his mic. And he was telling us about Hitman, which houses the biggest environments and the most NPCs that the series has ever seen. And apparently the game's going to evolve as IO Interactive are planning to tweak and improve Hitman whilst the game's out and people are experiencing it. It comes out on December the 8th, and they're going to be adding, you know, new contracts and things and keep on going, which is pretty cool. I've never been a huge fan of the Hitman series, but we'll have to see. I might give it a go in a couple of years when it's free with a graphics card.
Well, they normally, like, whenever the game comes out, they normally give it free with a graphics card.
Mm.
So maybe you'll be buying a graphics card around that time.
I will be in January, so.
Well, I don't think it's coming out that early.
It's coming out December the 8th, so.
Oh, it is? By the end of the year? Oh.
Yeah.
Well, it may be too late to get it with a graphics card then.
Well, talking of graphics cards, Lisa Su, the CEO and president of AMD, because, you know, one title's not enough.
Holy shit, a woman president.
She revealed that...
You dropped my case!
Yeah. But to be fair, he didn't know what was in the case. Turns out inside the case was a dual GPU Fiji card. Which is
probably super expensive.
Yeah, it's coming out in the autumn, but there's no name or price for it yet.
And they didn't even have a box around it. Like, it was just literally just the card inside or on the bottom.
Yeah, there was no backplate, no fans, no heat sinks, nothing. Yeah. Just the PCB with the chips on it. And I was like, ooh.
Ooh.
Okay, they actually showed off a few things. First off, there's the AMD Fury Nano, a card that delivers twice the performance per watt of the R9 290X and is about half the size, which is pretty nuts. This is basically because they've got new high bandwidth memory, basically. That allows them to make much smaller cards. But Project Quantum, it looked like it was like, what, about 10 inches by 10 inches?
Oh, it was super small.
Like, yeah.
Compared to other graphics cards and stuff? Goddamn.
No, I mean the machine, the PC that they showed.
That weird ass like hourglass kind of looking thing, because it had like one part, then like a little middle thing, and then like the bottom.
Yeah, and it
the top was all cooling or something, right?
I have no idea, but it does have two high end liquid cooled Fiji GPUs inside that chassis. And apparently it can run any 4K game at 60 frames per second quite happily.
It looks like something just really cool to have sitting on your desk or something. Yeah. Like, I would like to have that in that game on it.
At the moment, it's just a prototype, so they were really kind of vague about what else is inside it, because it's just using some other stock parts, but it's pretty freaking nuts. And
have we ever said that PC gaming is great?
I think we say it all the time.
We do?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Say it more often.
I'm guessing that thing is going to be pretty damn expensive though, but it looks amazing. Oh, yeah. And it's a PC that small can do 4K gaming and VR gaming. It is nuts.
It has stuff that would go into the size that would go into a laptop, basically. It's so cool.
You'd probably have spaces for extra bits as well. No. They're not just talking about the chip. It's basically a lot of it's down to the high bandwidth memory. They also unveiled the R9 Fury X, which is liquid cooled, and the R9 Fury, which is air cooled. Both those video cards have the new Fiji architecture with high bandwidth memory. And I want one or two. they were absolutely fantastic, but unfortunately, no one managed to get the mic off her before when she left, because as she left the stage, we heard her saying, "Right, we've got that over with." It's like, oh dear.
Great, I love it.
Yeah. Next up was a couple of guys from Bohemia Interactive showing us the new expansion for Arma 3, which is Tanoa, which basically is it's a whole new area to play in, which is a set of Pacific islands and thick, dense jungle, and it looked absolutely amazing. So that was pretty cool. There's nothing really there in it at the moment. It's just the landmass, but it's going to be fully moddable. So, you know, you might see dinosaurs there or anything else. You know, it's going to be pretty cool. It's an absolutely fantastic looking area. And with DirectX 12 implementation, it's going to look really quite good and work really well by all accounts. So we shall see. Well worth checking out.
Yes.
Then Sherida Halato, however you pronounce it, goes back on telling us about Beyond Eyes, which we've already talked about. So should we skip over that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Paul Wedgwood was on from Splash Damage. And he said, as well as working on Gears of War Ultimate Edition, they're also working on a new IP, and it's going to be the first IP that Splash Damage actually own, and it's in beta now, and it's called Dirty Bomb, and it's on Steam. And if you're in the right region, which is basically where most of our listeners are, I think there's a couple of places you can't play it, go check it out. It looks really quite fun. I've got it on my download queue.
Yeah, this is already early access or whatever on Steam for free to play.
Yeah, or you can spend like
yeah, I downloaded 15, last night, I believe.
£15 to get you know, a starter pack or something, but I don't think that's at all needed. Then we saw Steve Gaynor again from Fulbright talking about Tacoma again, which is you know, that space station walking sim thing that we talked about.
I really
want
to play it.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. You see like holograms of the people who were there, and you've got to piece together what happened to them. So it could be quite fun. I don't know how long it's going to last. I guess slightly longer than the previous game, but I mean, it's
well,
not...
Well, it looks like there could be more in it too, so...
Yeah, it's not a huge space station, but there's... Yeah, there was six people, I think, meant to be living on there, so there'll be a bit of space. And yeah, it looks interesting. Then Ian Thomas came up from Frictional Studios, you know, the guys that pulled us Amnesia. And we saw a really short video of Soma, their new
scary game.
Yeah, jump scary game, which looks like it's set underwater. Well, it is set underwater in some
kind
of...
It looks like Rapture.
Yeah, it does a bit like a crap rapture. Crapture, if you will. So, yeah, we didn't get to see much of that at all. There was some weird shiny light thing that started coming towards him, and voices, and everyone that loved Amnesia is probably going to buy it anyway. So.
Like me!
Yeah, you and Lee will be buying it and playing it and going, oh,
we love being scared like little
like
girls.
Girl. Yeah.
Yeah. I love screaming like a girl.
Next up was actually another guy from Bohemia Interactive, Brian Hicks. And he was talking about DayZ with more stuff coming and actually coming out of early access and moving to beta. And basically saying that, you know, there's a lot more stuff coming, new vehicles. And for those of you that actually don't want to be pissed off with people killing you all the time, it's going to have a single player option. So that's cool. You can play it, you know, wherever you want on a laptop without you needing an internet connection. It's going to be easy to install. It's going to be its own game. You're not going to have to like install armor 3 and then mods and then and everything else, and then finally, hopefully, you know, turn around 3 times and then it'll work. It's
that was just such pain in the ass to get Daisy to work.
It's actually just going to work, so that's cool. It's going to have full Steam Workshop support, and they're going to release the code so you can even host your own servers if you want to. So that's kind of cool. I might actually get round to playing it. And we also saw a bit of Take on Mars, which, again, I think that started off as an armor mod, didn't it?
Apparently everything does anymore.
Yeah, which is in early access at the moment. The beta's coming in the summer. It's on Steam now. You can go and check it out. You basically have to go to Mars and, you know, live there and do stuff and do missions and things. Don't worry, we're getting close to the end now. Next up, Cliffy
this
B.
This hasn't even lasted as long as the Sony one, so.
Cliffy B turned up. After taking a year and a half break, he's back with Boss Key Productions, and, I've completely forgotten to, put the name of the game. Project Blue Streak, I think, isn't it? It's a 5v5, shooter. It doesn't look as cartoony as gigantic, and it doesn't look as brown and earthy and horrible as Gears of War or any of the other kind of brown first-person shooters. And he talked about his break from his games, and after 6 months, he was like seeing people putting stuff out, and he was like, "Nah, I want to get back in." And it took him about a year to get back to it. And he decided to go, you know, he wanted to get back to first-person shooters. He's been playing a load of Counter-Strike, and he decided basically, yeah, I'm going to make this game. Set it all up, found the guys he wants to work with, and he's going for PC first. It may come out on consoles in the future, but being on PC, he says it allows him to be really agile. So, you know, you can put in, you know, updates all the time, and you can have like different tests and stuff going on, and keyboard and mouse was the only way to go for a first person shooter. So yay. That was pretty cool. Didn't get to see anything more than the alpha footage that we saw last year though. So that was a bit of a shame. Next up was Dodge Roll with Enter the Gungeon. Which is kind of a dungeon crawler, bullet hell shooter nightmare.
I think I added this to my wish list or something as soon as I saw it.
Yeah, it's interesting. It looks like an. It's not hard deliberately. It is deliberately hard, but not to make it, you know, stupidly hard. It's hard because they feel you get more of a sense of reward when you actually managed to get past a section, which, you know, I guess is true. I was quite happy the other day when I finally got past a bit that was pissing me off in The Witcher 3. So,
I mean, as soon as I saw the boss battle, whatever, and he said it's like the Legend of Zelda Armas fight from I think it's Link to the Past, something like that. I was like, okay, I may get it.
Yeah, that's mine. Next up, Blizzard. A couple of guys from Blizzard. One looked like a guitarist from some band, I can't remember. And they basically told us about three things. Heroes of the Storm, Eternal Conflict, which is their new MOBA, isn't it?
Yes.
So, woo. Some of the characters sounded quite cool. There's one guy that you don't really, when you kill him, he hangs around as a wraith, and so he can, you know, piss people off and then eventually comes back wherever the wraith happens to be. So you can just maybe kill the person that just killed you. I must admit, I did start kind of losing attention this time, because we'd been sat for...
But we were fucking... I mean, it was like 4 in the morning or something for you.
Yeah, I was getting really, really tired. There's that coming out. Go and check it out if you're interested at all in it. It's not my cup of tea anyway. Next up was StarCraft II Legacy of the Void. That's coming out at some point soon. I don't think they actually set a date. But before that, there's Whispers of Oblivion, which are three prologue missions that are coming in July that are going to be free to everyone. But if you want early access to them, you have to pre-purchase Legacy of the Void. So, yeah, the Whispers of Oblivion, basically, they catch you up with some of the Protoss stuff that's been happening whilst...
Like, straight after the second expansion came out, whatever the Zerg thing was.
Yeah, whilst What's-Her-Name's been off doing all that stuff, it's kind of a catch-up. And, you know, if you've never played a StarCraft game, then it's a great way to get in and try it out. Because, you know, three missions for free, that's worth a go, isn't it? It's not going to cost you anything apart from a bit of bandwidth and time. I know Bobby's probably quite happy about that, but he probably didn't see it because of the haze of vape in front of his screen, because he's been doing a lot of that recently. And then last, but by no means least, Sean Murray came on to show us more of No Man's Sky. And they were going to announce a release date at E3 for it, but something happened and they didn't. But what he did say
I think they weren't allowed, yeah, basically, is what it sounded like.
But what he did say is the PC version is coming out at the same time as the PS4 version.
Woo!
I can't wait. That's going to be
fuck
great.
Fuck your exclusivity.
It's all right, you know. It's good times to be a PC gamer, as I think this whole thing showed. You just need a comfy seat.
You heard PC in, like, every conference.
Yeah.
Which has never happened. It's normally strictly their, you know, their, consoles and shit that have come out. And now it's like, PC's here, PC's there, and it's like, yes! Especially with Microsoft, because they're, like, putting Windows 10 in that all together.
Yeah, but even with Sony, some of the games are like, coming out on PlayStation 4 and PC. And it's like, wow. Okay.
It's good to hear. I love it.
Another reason for me not to get a PS4. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yep. Can't wait.
Well, yeah, I think that's it, isn't it? We've done E3 for another year.
And I still have to finish editing the rest of it.
Well, that is true. Well, we hope you've enjoyed our E3 coverage. Don't forget to check back for our regular weekly podcast. I've been Hardly Dan.
I've been Amorous89.
Together, we've been the Gamesman.
Until next time, what role will you play?